on WHFR. We're the station making waves.
The 2013 summer semester at Henry Ford Community College is fast approaching. Now is the time to register. This summer, the semester will start June 25th and will last through August 12th. For more information on registering for the summer, go to www.hfcc.edu. Once again, that is www.hfcc.edu.
Hey everyone, opening day is right around the corner. No, not that opening day. I'm talking about the Dearborn Farmers Market. The Dearborn Farmers Market kicks off their season Friday, May 31st at 9 a.m. in downtown West Dearborn. It will be located in the parking lot right behind the Dearborn Public Library. Stop in and see the huge display of vendors with a wide variety of items. Flowers, foods, crafts, and a whole lot more. The WHFR tent will be set up there the entire afternoon. Stop by and say hi. Meet some of the WHFR on-air talent. The WHFR Journal Show with Jay and Dennis will be broadcasting live from the market at 1 p.m. So come on out to the Dearborn Farmers Market opening day, May 31st. It starts at 9 a.m. and ends at 3 p.m. And don't forget to stop by the WHFR tent while you're out there soaking up the sun and enjoying the market. The Dearborn Farmers Market. We'll see you there.
Henry Ford Community College gift cards are a great way to show your support for someone in your life who is seeking the skills necessary to fulfill their dreams. Available in values from $10 to $100, gift cards can be used towards payment of tuition, purchasing books and supplies, lab fees, or even a lunch at Skylight Cafe. Gift cards can be purchased at the campus bookstore or online at collegestore.hfcc.edu. College gift cards. What better way to encourage a student in your life than with an investment in their future?
Good afternoon. Welcome to Impact. This is your host, Lynn, and Impact is a talk show on the fourth Tuesday of each month, and Impact brings you interesting people, both individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This is a pre-recorded version today, and I would like to thank Dennis Reimars for engineering this particular edition. The views expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, WHFR, nor the staff of Impact. And today's show is going to be a very interesting show. Lots of interesting people we're going to be hearing about. And we are speaking with Mary Lou Hurst, the president of the Garden Club of Dearborn.
Golden barley.
Was hard. Mary Lou, thank you so much for being part of Impact today. And there's so much that I didn't know about the Garden Club of Dearborn. And I'm about as lifer Dearborn resident as you can get. I was born at Oakwood. So I've been here my whole life. And I understand the Garden Club goes back to 1915. Tell us a little bit about the history.
Thank you, Lynn. It's nice to be here, and it's nice to see you again. The Garden Club of Dearborn was first formed in 1915 by Mrs. Clara Ford, a.k.a. Mrs. Henry Ford. She opened up her home to have women come in and study the flowers, be in her garden, see what she was doing with Fairlane Estate. She was the president for 5 years. Fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way she chose to look at it, it was a great success. And a tremendous amount of women were coming to Fairlane for the meetings. So it was decided at one point to put a cap on the membership of 150 ladies. Mm-hmm. And for many, many years, there was always a waiting list. And the Garden Club was considered the club if you wanted to join. And to get in to be a member was considered quite a prestigious honor.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, it was, you know, the hats, the gloves, the dresses, the high heels, the whole nine yards.
Right.
It just shows how things have changed today.
Right. And I noticed on your webpage, it indicated meeting topics focused on such themes as bulbs, protecting perennials, ridding lawns of dandelions, care of flocks, and the need to keep weeds cut on vacant lots. And the first thing that struck me was, gee, things really don't change that much. We're still trying to keep the dandelions out of our lawns, and we're trying to make sure that all of our vacant lots and parks, etc., look nice at all times.
Well, these are only part of the things that we do. We have flower arrangers come in and show us how to do flower arranging.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a gentleman come in from English Gardens before the holidays, and he makes all these wonderful Christmas arrangements and Christmas bulbs and ferns and all kinds of evergreens, and it's phenomenal to watch. And then the ladies always try to duplicate it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we have had a gentleman come in from up northern Michigan, and he has a place called Sunny Fields. It's an acreage that he has cultivated all by himself, and lilacs and different plantings, and he welcomes people to come up, go through his property. There are picnic benches, and you can sit down and have lunch. It's about a two-hour drive from here. It's somewhere around Port Huron.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. Horman has done a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else have we had? We've had people talk about butterflies. We have had people come in and talk about water gardens,
mm-hmm.
How to put the plants in there, how to keep your fish going, how to keep the blue heron from swooping down and taking your expensive koi out of your ponds. It's a fascinating array of subjects out there for the dedicated gardener.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about some of the projects that the Garden Club is involved with. I noticed you have a beautiful website, by the way.
And thank you.
Lots of great information out there. But you're in places where people see you and don't know that they're seeing the Garden Club of Dearborn, such as the Centennial Library, for example.
Yes, and I'd like to thank Mr. Ben Bacharach. He is the gentleman who is in charge of our webpage, and he does a wonderful job of keeping us up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have been involved at the Centennial Library. We do the Children's Garden, and this year we received an added bonus. Apparently, employees at Roger Penske were looking for a service project, and they contacted the city, and they in turn put them in contact with the Garden Club. And they donated labor to help take the children's garden apart. The city came in to do the heavy lifting. We took out landscape timbers. We took out a lot of old trees, and they replanted. And they also donated $200 to help to pay for the replanting. And we had a very dedicated group of volunteers headed by Karen Marzoni, our landscape vice president, and Carol Krashastik.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very well done, and we even received a letter from Nancy Hubbard congratulating us on our effort over there. And
I
understand from many people that it is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had a chance to get over there because I'm gone most of the summer. It's on my bucket list.
And some of the other civic projects that you're involved with, tell me about the Enabling Garden next door at U of M Dearborn.
This is a plot of raised land that the university has let us use. And basically what it is we raise flowers to dry, for fresh flowers for the horticultural therapy at Oakwood Commons.
Mm.
We do this in the rehabilitation center, and we work with groups of people who are there, and they come down once a month, and we have a project, whether it's some sort of a floral project. I think for Valentine's, we used to take their picture and put flowers on a picture frame.
Oh.
For St. Patrick's Day, of course, there's obviously something green and shamrocky involved. In the fall, it's usually fall flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Enabling Garden, we dry flowers or we use the cut flowers. And we use it as a cutting garden, which saves us having to go pay for flowers.
Right.
And it's a wonderful thing that the U of M has done to allow people to do these plots.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we appreciate it.
Well, and it's, I think it's nice to visit somebody in, if they're in a rehab situation or what have you, a hospital situation, and you go in and you have this bouquet, for example, and you say, I took this from my garden. And it just, it seems to mean more, I think.
Well, I think it does. Unfortunately, some of the patients are not aware, so to speak, of what's going on, mm-hmm. but they seem to relate to the flowers. Mm-hmm. And we usually sing happy birthday to anybody that has a birthday that month, and there's usually a, you know, just it's just the camaraderie, and they appreciate a hug and a pat on the shoulder and sure. any kind of human contact, and flowers seems to be a universal language.
Sure, definitely. Okay, so that combines a couple of them. And then the commercial district container planting, and we all appreciate those.
Yes, that is in downtown West Dearborn. Mm-hmm. For those of you who see those large cement planters along Michigan Avenue and the side streets, the city puts them in place. The flowers are donated by the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, and try to say that five times fast.
Right.
and then our members, we have a committee headed by Anina Backrack, and our members go and they plant the flowers, and they go and they deadhead them, and they keep an eye on them. And then three times a year, we plant in the spring, we do mums in the fall, and then we do greens for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the merchants do remember to water their flowers.
Oh, that is their responsibility.
Well,
I wondered about that.
Well, it's rather difficult for the members to haul water up and
sure.
down Michigan Avenue. But I think some members have actually maybe gone in the stores with buckets and, you know,
sure.
done this. But
sure.
For the most part, I think the merchants enjoy having the flowers out in front of their stores.
Mm-hmm.
It's a draw. It's an added attraction. And, of course, when you're flying by on Michigan Avenue, it is kind of hard to see. But
right.
it's just lets people know that Dearborn cares.
Exactly. Yeah, and you see the life and the color, and it's a good thing. Also on your website, I noticed that there are a number of donations that are made each year by the Garden Club. Could you want to tell me about some of those, the scholarships and some of the other items that are involved, or
well,
recipients, I should say, groups and individuals?
Okay. We make donations to many different groups throughout the state of Michigan. My personal one as president is I would like to stay local and benefit as many people as we can. This is a segue into something we'll be talking later, but we make a lot of our money from the Holly Berry Brunch in December.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when all the bills are paid, we sit down and see how much money we have to play with. I know we've given $1,000 to the Belle Isle Conservatory. We have given $3,000, $1,000 scholarships to Henry Ford Community College, yes. And we have given two to University of Michigan. No comment.
Yeah.
No.
it's the Spartan.
It's a wonderful school. And the people that receive these scholarships are very appreciative, and we receive lovely thank you notes from each and every one of them. And it's a privilege for us to be able to help and support students, because I know in this day and age, expenses can mount up quickly, mm-hmm. and usually this will help with their books.
Mm-hmm.
And we received a thank you note from a student here at the college, and she said the money could not have come at a better time, and it lifted a burden off of her shoulders. And so it made us feel very good
sure.
that we had helped someone.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. We donate to the Fairlane Estate. We have done. Of course, the estate is closed now. But for the 100th anniversary, we made a pledge of donating $10,000 to the estate. And we have that $10,000 already in the bank. So we're good there. And we support the Friends of the Rouge, obviously. That's an excellent cause. We do Woodsy Owl, which is something that we do through the Dearborn school system, and maybe some people are not aware of it. It's a competition in the schools to draw a poster.
Okay.
A conservation-type poster, and then at the end, I believe Mary Dujea is actually the chairperson of this event, and then they choose someone, and they win. I'm sorry, I do not know how much money, but they win a certain amount of money, and they do get their picture in the paper.
Okay.
And it's publicity for the school, it's good for the student,
okay.
and it helps link the Garden Club with the school system, and we have started another project over at Bryant Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth and I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. She's a retired teacher over there, got a group of students interested in reviving one of the courtyards over there. And we saw it before, and it was a disaster. You know, I think there were some weeds actually taller than I am.
Oh.
And so they worked very hard, and I think this last year they put in a pond, they've put in plantings, they've put in gravel. And one of the things I want to do is meet with Ruth this fall and go over and see how it's progressing. And we have donated tools, rakes, hoes, shovels, whatever kind of gardening. I think somebody even came up with a wheelbarrow.
Okay.
And whatever they need to do this. And apparently this is quite a source of pride now over at Bryant Middle School.
So it's definitely ongoing.
It's an ongoing project, yeah. Yes. A lot of our projects are ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let me see, what else do we do? When you reach a certain age, the mind kind of disappears. You can laugh. Your turn is coming.
Oh, I think it's already there some days.
Oh, we also support the McFadden Ross Museum. Mm-hmm. Right. We hold our board meetings there, and I believe we've donated $1,000 mm-hmm. to them for this year. And I understand that, you know, due to whatever budget cuts and whatever is going on with the city, the future of McFadden Ross is in jeopardy. And I think mm-hmm. this is a shame, because this is one of the little jewels that we have that, you know, most cities try to keep their museums going. And mm-hmm. I devoutly hope that ours will be allowed to continue, because it's important.
It is. It is.
And it's Dearborn heritage. And these are things that people in the future need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you're right. It's a little jewel, and sometimes when you think about museums and history in Dearborn, everything's sort of overshadowed by the Henry, and McFadden is just one of those places. I remember in grade school we went there every year and visited. So
did you read The Bark Covered House?
Oh my gosh. When I was in grade school, it was a very long time ago. I don't remember.
Oh, well, no comment.
Okay.
I do remember when my son was back then, and that was a very long time ago. He brought The Bark Covered House home, and he, I have to read this book.
Okay.
Well, I sat down and read it, and I found it to be a fascinating history of the city of Dearborn and how it was formed back in the 1830s, 40s, mm-hmm. whatever, and the people came down the Erie Canal. So I believe it's still available.
Mm-hmm.
So you all run out and buy a copy at
there
the McFadden Ross.
And...
Oh, the joys of being old. I just forgot what I was going to say about the Blue Star Highway. When Judy Henn was president a few years ago, her project was to get a Blue Star Highway designation for here in Dearborn, and it is over in the Muirhead Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And this is quite a coup for the Garden Club to have done this, and then we take care of the landscaping and water it and do what we can to keep it going. But it was I think done in 2007,
okay,
something like that, and it was a very, very intense project to get mm-hmm. going, and I applaud Judy for her efforts. She did a great job.
Could you talk about that a little bit, the Blue Star Highway program, and
well,
what that is?
Well, from what I understand, it is in memorial of veterans.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my knowledge is somewhat limited, but I know it is in honor of the veterans, and I believe this started during World War II.
Okay.
And people used to hang stars in their windows. I believe it was blue if you had a soldier away, and I think it was gold if you lost a family member. I could be wrong, so somebody correct me if you see me on the street and say you blew it.
Okay.
But I believe that is where the origination came from.
I have a vague recollection of my grandmother talking about something about that during World War II. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's fantastic then that we have that kind of memorial and connection, you know, with the world like that.
Yeah, it's quite an honor to have one, and like I said, I applaud Judy for all her hard work in getting it and bringing it to fruition.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Impact here on WHFR Dearborn. This is a pre-recorded show, and we are visiting with Mary Lou Hurst, president of the Garden Club of Dearborn today. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back after these important messages.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford Community College. Henry Ford Community College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford Community College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford Community College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford Community College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
This is an official station of the MAEB. The Michigan Association of Educational Broadcasters was formed in 1977 to support your local high school and college radio stations. These stations serve the community and create alternative programming. But most importantly, they discover and train the next generation of broadcasters. For more information on the MAEB and its affiliates, visit www.maeb.org.
Welcome back. You are listening to Impact right here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. This is a pre-recorded show today, and we are so excited to be talking about the Garden Club of Dearborn. First time that Mary Lou's been with us, and it's a lot of history, a lot of interesting things to talk about with the Garden Club of Dearborn. We talked earlier that about how the club goes back to 1915, started by Clara Ford, and one of the things that I noticed when I looked at the page is that there's a great interest in composting and some environmental issues back in 1915. We think a lot of things are new, and they're not such new ideas. So she must have been quite an environmentalist, as was her husband, Henry Ford.
I believe she was, and going back to 1915 and composting, and today everybody thinks it's new. It just shows what everything old is new again, mm-hmm. what goes around and comes around. But Clara was an environmentalist. She and her husband took great care in landscaping their estate. Jensen was brought in to do a lot of the landscaping. He did the lake, which is down on the other side of Jensen's Meadow. Clara was renowned for her rose garden. I do not know how many different types of roses she had, but it was a lot. The volunteers today at the estate, including the garden club, have done a lot to try and bring back the rose garden, but of course it is not on the vast scale that Clara had. The garden club has donated money to rebuild the greenhouses. Back in the early 80s, we had what they called a butterfly tea, and this was to raise funds to restore Clara Ford's butterfly peony garden, which was across the street from the estate, just east, I believe, east of the children's playhouse.
Oh, okay.
And she loved her peonies, or as my grandmother in Indiana used to say, pineys. It took me a long time to figure out they were one and the same. But anyhow, she really loved her flowers. They loved their trees. They have a vast assortment of trees on the estate. It used to be one of the largest stands of beech trees. Now, with the advent of putting in all the apartments and things, I don't know exactly what has survived, but I know they have done a good job in trying to keep what is there intact and replacing what needs to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And I think that Mrs. Ford did a wonderful job, as did her husband, with creating this oasis in the middle of Dearborn on the banks of the Rouge. And the volunteers that we have today are very, very dedicated in working in the garden. And a lot of them are members of the garden club. And it just shows how diverse our membership is with their outside activities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that surprised me was I was reading the webpage before I came in, that the garden club, working in conjunction with Mrs. Ford, was responsible for starting the Bryant Library over on Michigan Avenue. And again, that is another little gem that I hope is allowed to stay open and function. And, you know, there's just so many things about Mrs. Ford and her connection with the Garden Club that is not known. And I guess further research needs to be done on this. But it's fascinating to just sit and read the webpage mm-hmm. about the things that happened. And in the 40s, as we said, there was the Blue Star Memorial Highway, which was done in conjunction with the Michigan and the National Garden Clubs. And this was, like I said, to honor the people and the servicemen. And apparently, during the war, there were many signs going up and down Highway 31, which is a north-south route. And we now meet at the First Presbyterian Church over on Brady, off of Michigan Avenue. But back in the day, I guess some of the private residences were large enough to hold the meetings at their homes and have, you know, fancy teas and,
sure.
and you know, like I said, the hats and the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I first joined Garden Club, it was still hats and white gloves. It was quite interesting. We do have study groups. We are down. We used to be 8 study groups. We are now down to 3. And the study groups are an extension of what goes on in the Garden Club meetings. We will study conservation. Someone will have taken a trip, like gone to, is it the Burkhart Gardens in Vancouver? And they'll come in and they'll bring their pictures and they'll do a slideshow. And it must be the water and the air up there because the flowers are absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had some lady come in and do Arizona. And the flowers and the fauna and how things can actually grow in a desert.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, the things that you do learn, that yes, they actually do have flowers down there.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that we do with our meetings. We now have an associate membership, which we used to have a 4-meeting requirement, and if you didn't make your 4 meetings, you were out because there was a waiting list.
Okay.
But now we have associate memberships, which cost a wee bit more. But, you know, we are now a busy society. Women are working. Young women have children. They like to stay home with their children. But I can assure you we are very family-friendly at the Garden Club. If you have a small child, we have one that comes regularly, and she's absolutely a delight, and there's usually about 50 grandmothers in there that would be delighted to play with her. So if you have a child and no daycare, that's no detriment, because this grandmother loves to have children. Mine's 14, and she's kind of hard to sit on my lap anymore.
Yeah.
But it's a nice group of ladies. We are actively looking for younger members to help carry on, because some of our members have reached the point where getting down on their hands and knees is difficult. Cultivating, working, and doing the hard work on some of the things that are necessary, they simply cannot do anymore.
Right.
And they honor us with their financial support, which is good. We mm-hmm. appreciate any kind of support that we can get.
And maybe some of the visitation and things that they can handle that.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, they can. Some of them go over and help with the projects at Oakwood Commons.
Mm-hmm.
And to paraphrase, Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Mm-hmm. Mary Travers.
Mary Travers, mm-hmm. Thank you. We saw them in Interlochen, and she said, I've reached the age now when I get down on the ground, I stop and think what it is I'm doing here and what else I can do. Well, it happens to the best of us.
There you go.
But anyhow, all of these projects are made possible by our fundraisers. We do have a fundraiser every month, a table where people can bring in things to sell. Now this next month in October, we are going to have our clump sale, which is where members go in and clean out their gardens and they bring in a clump of black-eyed Susans or a clump of yarrow or Pachysandra or whatever is annoying them or is just spreading them out, and they bring it in and we sell it.
Okay.
And so this is a good way of exchanging what you have in your garden.
Great idea.
It's a wonderful idea. And
is this open to the public or is this just for members?
Quite frankly, if you wanted to sneak in at, at 11:30 on the second Monday at First Presbyterian Church, and you have cash in hand, I have no problem selling anything to you.
So that's sort of an open invitation to the public to check that out.
Well, yeah, the supply is somewhat limited, so.
Oh, I'm assuming you're bringing in something, too.
Well, if I can get my husband to dig it up, yes.
Yeah.
That's always the problem. Yeah. It's the honey-do list.
I have a theory about hosta along those same lines, and that is that one does not need to purchase hosta. You just have to look and talk to enough people, look in enough gardens, and you can come up with your different colors.
Oh, absolutely. Hosta does not happen to be one of my favorite plants.
Ah.
I do not have it in my garden. I finally got rid of one. It took several years to get rid of it, but I finally managed. It's just you either like them or you don't.
I do.
Yeah.
And I had probably my favorite hosta story was looking for blue. And I couldn't find blue anyplace. And I was at one of my sister-in-law's house, and she had a next-door neighbor, no fences, and a big clump of beautiful blue hosta. And I said, do you think your neighbors would mind if they gave me a little bit of hosta? And she said, the house is for sale, and they're both deceased. And so we took a spade and put it back together, and I have beautiful blue hosta in my yard now.
I don't believe I've seen blue hosta. I pretty much had the white.
Okay.
And I do believe, I misspoke, I do believe up at the lake up north, I do have a few hosta plants, but I do my very best to keep them minimal. You know, sometimes you just don't care for something.
That's true. That's very true. One of the things that's really interesting, we talked about Clara Ford being the first president of the Garden Club, and that goes back to 1915. You are looking at a 100-year anniversary soon.
Yes, we are. And we will be planning, quite an event to celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, we have set aside $10,000, and it's in CDs, drawing a tremendous amount of interest these days. And it's we had made this commitment a number of years ago, and since we had the money from last year's Holly Berry Brunch, I decided that it was just prudent to go ahead and pay it off.
Sure.
And so the money is all there and set aside to donate to Fairlane for whatever their use. Usually it's for gardening, whatever they need. But if you haven't seen the restoration of the greenhouses, it's a lovely, lovely thing that they have done.
Are there certain hours to tour? Or you said it was closed.
Well, the mansion itself is closed.
Right.
They closed the pool restaurant, Boo. And there's supposed to be a transfer between the University of Michigan and the Ford family. But so far, it will be under the umbrella of the Henry and Edsel and Eleanor Ford estate.
Okay.
And so these will be united.
But the
logistics and the paperwork and all it are still ongoing. So I have no idea. But in the meantime, the mansion sits empty, but the grounds are available. I guess during
daylight
hours that I assume till 5 o'clock.
That
people can go in and wander around.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, this time of year, it's absolutely gorgeous when the trees start turning and you can walk down by the river and look across the river. And my husband and I frequently go over there and wander around. Just
mm-hmm.
And we used to go for lunch, but can't do that anymore. So as I was going to say, boo, hiss. But other than that, the estate is a big part of what we do because of Mrs. Ford's mm-hmm. influence back in 1915 when she decided that it was important to do the flora and the fauna and the conservation
mm-hmm.
and to get other people, you know, of like mind to join her.
Right, right.
And a lot of these women that were past presidents knew Mrs. Ford.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, last year we lost our second oldest member, at 98, Ann Neaton, and she was twice a past president.
Okay.
And her specialty was she was chrysanthemums.
Okay.
And she was, I believe, a master gardener and landscape, and her backyard was full of these beautiful specimen chrysanthemums. And she totally enjoyed what she did, and she enjoyed being in Garden Club. So a lot of our ladies have led very interesting paths. I know a Mrs. Fred Ford was a president in the 60s, and I believe her husband, Fred Ford, was a cousin of Henry Ford's.
Okay.
So there was another Ford connection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we do have one member left who will be 103 next month. And she is a delightful lady, and she was at our annual meeting in June, and she's planning on coming to the Hollyberry Brunch in December, and we devoutly hope that Nina Kaufman will be with us.
Oh, definitely. Okay. We've been talking a lot about the webpage and new membership and all that business. A lot of that information is out there, and what's the best way to contact you and to take a look at the web?
I believe our... you can contact me at my home and at Garden Club of Dearborn, gardenclubdearborn.org, and I'm the president if you choose to contact me. My number is 313-336-3184, and I would be happy to answer any questions. As you say, did you want to talk about the Hollyberry Brunch?
We'll do that in just a moment.
Oh, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break.
Oh, see how good I'm getting at this?
The webpage is, or to contact Mary Lou, is president@gardenclubdearborn.org. And let's see, the Garden Club webpage is www.gardenclubdearborn.org. And lots and lots of information, lots of great history. As I said, I'm about as Dearborn as you can get. And a lot of this information I was definitely not aware of. So this is, it's exciting to know that there's any organization, which is, this is volunteer, you know, face it. It's an honor to be part of it. And you're looking at 100-year history. That's very exciting.
It is, and like I said, the ladies that belong to our group, no matter what age group they're in, they're all very dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are able and you call, they will help wherever they can. And it's gratifying to be president and receive the support.
Right, right. Okay, let's take a little break for some important messages, and we'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to be a baseball player. I would be the pitcher because they get to do something all the time.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
Criminal justice studies are concerned with the preservation of peace, the prevention of crime, and the protection of life and property. A knowledge of the role of criminal justice in our society also serves to emphasize the importance of balancing the needs of society to maintain social order against the need to safeguard individual rights. For more information on the HFCC Associate Degree Program in Criminal Justice, contact the Criminal Justice Department at one of the following numbers: 313-845-6437, 313-845-9714, or 313-845-9859.
Hi, this is Go Mike Holloway reminding all of you loyal listeners to tune in to the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m., right here on WHFR.FM, the station that is always making waves.
Welcome back to Impact. This is a pre-recorded show today, and it is a great show. We're talking to Mary Lou Hurst, who is president of the Garden Club of Dearborn, and what a wonderful organization, looking soon at a 100-year anniversary. How exciting. So tell me about some of the things that the Garden Club does. We talked a little bit about the fundraisers and some of the other things, but if I don't have the time to be part of the club, tell me about what some of the information I can find on the webpage and some of the information you provide as a service to the community, really.
Well, we do a monthly newsletter put out by Karen Marzoni, and it's full of our speakers for that month. It is a column in there usually by Jane Geisler, who is also has a column in the Dearborn Press and Guide, and it's garden tips and hints, and she is a master gardener. And she does a wonderful job. And then we also have things that were coming up that we're going to be doing. The president has a letter in there. And quite frankly, when I sit down to write it, I don't have a clue. And when I'm done, I'm going, oh, geez, did I just write that? But I put it in there. My poor husband gets in the newsletter more than once.
There you go.
But it's a nice group. And if you are interested, you can always go to our website, gardenclubdearborn.org, and pull up the newsletter and read it. We do have an interesting tidbit in it this month that Karen put in, that apparently there is some dreaded rose disease that has now arrived in Dearborn. And it involves... I lost the piece of paper that says where it's involved. So excuse me while I ruffle and make all kinds of noise that I'm not supposed to. The dreaded rose disease is new to Dearborn, and you will have to totally pull up your roses. The symptoms, rapid stem elongation, leaf reddening, abnormal narrow leaflets, and distorted flower petals. And the bottom line is, if you get any of this, the rose cannot be saved and you have to pull it up. So I'm going home and check my roses, because I have some I transplanted that I know are over 100 years old, and I'm going to be starting new roses just on the off chance that this does hit. But this is one of the things, we get these alerts of these nasty little diseases, like when we had the emerald ash borer, when we had the wonderful gypsy moth. And, you know, we get hints on how to get rid of the gypsy moth, and all, unfortunately, the emerald ash borer is a different story. The roses, I like roses, and so I devoutly would hate to lose mine. These are just a few of the things that we put in our newsletter. We have the calendar of events, and we also have a calendar of what's going on in the district and what is going on in the state. They do landscape and design schools, where you can go and learn the landscape and design. I believe it's a series of three classes. And when you are through, you can teach these classes. You can give the speeches and go and give the talks and become what you call a landscape design expert. We have a flower show judge school. Garden clubs are encouraged to do flower shows and or garden walks. And amazingly, there are very strict guidelines to do flower shows. It's very precise. The line has to be exactly right. The container, the flowers, it's if you do a tablescape, it has to be, they're very precise. I did one time for our meeting and brought silverware, and I did not realize that you do not put silverware on a tablescape. Oh. So I learned something. And it's the proportion of the container to the flowers. It's a very precise learning experience to be in a flower show. And it's very humbling as well when you think you've done a great job and the judge says no, 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 and no. It's, you know, like you're depressed. But it's a learning experience, and that's what people join Garden Club for, is to learn.
Right.
And gardening is not something just putting a flower in the ground and watering it and hope it grows. It's learning the whys and where floors and how to put flowers together to create a pleasing landscape. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to encourage them to grow and to, you know, get your perennial gardens to grow. And it's a lot of work.
Now, the Dearborn Garden Club is working with the state-level garden clubs and also the national-level garden clubs. Could you speak to that
a
little
bit? Well, we don't necessarily work with them.
Okay.
They're a source of information for us. They send information down to us. They have meetings. We have district meetings, which puts all the clubs in the Dearborn, in the District 1 area, which I believe is like Taylor, Grosse Pointe, Groseal,
mm-hmm.
Maybe Allen Park. You know, I there's just a whole bunch of garden clubs. Dearborn Heights, Military Hills Garden Club in Dearborn Heights. These groups all get together and they have the meetings and there are programs. And the one that's coming up in October is, I believe, going to be a dry landscape on how to landscape without water. And the other one is going to be landscaping with water and water plants.
Oh.
So that will be an interesting district meeting. And that's going to be at Vladimir's in Farmington Hills.
Oh, okay.
So we continue our education and our socialization throughout the district. And then the state does basically the same thing. We have an annual meeting once a year. It's been on Mackinac, it's been in Traverse, it goes to different places, and this is where they hold the elections for the state level. And then you just extrapolate it up one more step, and it becomes the national.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they have programs that they would like the local garden clubs to support.
Okay.
And in the state, it's been Loda Lake, it's been another group called Grass Lake, and these are conservation efforts to help plant and preserve these areas.
Okay.
And then I believe the other thing that they have done is when you drive along and you see all these beautiful daffodils
mm-hmm.
in the spring over on I-94.
Right.
This is part of a planting that was done through the garden clubs.
Oh, okay.
And we're everywhere. We have our fingers in a lot of different pies. And there's a lot of hardworking ladies out there, not just in Dearborn,
mm-hmm.
but in many, many places.
Do you work with other local garden clubs to
mm-hmm.
either on projects or meetings or just for fun
well,
events?
The district meeting is when we get together with the local garden
right.
clubs. And we are invited to different organizations, like the Taylor Garden Club will invite us to something there, and they will come and support our things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a plant exchange, I believe, over on Groseal. And we've received notification of that, which is
okay.
in October.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's not all the time, but it's ongoing.
Sure.
And it's like anything, the more you spread out, the more people you know, the more information you
right.
gather,
right.
You know, and the more friends you can make. And
yeah.
this is what the name of the game is
yes.
friendship and education.
Right.
Okay. And I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you get to go and, you know, have lunch at a nice place. And, you know, garden club ladies like to eat and have their teas, if nothing else.
That sounds
we
like
have
a good
three
plan
teas,
to me.
Three teas a month. We have a membership, a welcome back tea. We
mm-hmm.
have a Christmas tea and a Valentine's tea. And then at the new year, end of the year, my pronunciation, we usually have our annual meeting and luncheon at the Dearborn Country Club.
Okay. All right.
And every 2 years, we install new members.
Okay.
And we will be installing new members this June.
All right. Again, a very active group and a very wonderful group. If you're looking for more information about the club, you can call Mary Lou at 313-336-3184 or go to their webpage, which is absolutely chock full of information, www.gardenclubdearborn.org. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf. Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Variety's pretty hard to find on today's airwaves. How about joining the cause to promote alternative variety? TCM 189 is the staff training course for HFCC's own WHFR, a station devoted to new, local, and unique artists The course provides students with essential station procedures as well as equipment knowledge and basic performance skills. The class can be taken for credit or under the Center for Lifelong Learning. For more information, contact Susan McGraw, WHFR's General Manager at 313-845-9842. Listen to the 1 Plus 1 show on Sunday nights from 9 until midnight. The 1 Plus 1 show is hosted by Mrs. Robinson. I'll be bringing you the best in indie rock, indie pop, and music that will just mellow you out. So tune in to the 1 Plus 1 show every Sunday from 9 until midnight on the station making waves, WHFR.FM.
And we are back, and that the music today has been in the background is from Lorena McKennett, and any listeners of No Boys Allowed know that she's one of my favorites, and we're going to talk about the Holly Berry brunch, and I said, well, we have to play Lorena McKennett's The Holly and the Ivy, so there you go. All right, Mary Lou, tell us about the brunch, the Holly Berry brunch. This is something that you've been working on for a number of years. It's the biggest fundraiser for the club annually. Mm-hmm. And gosh, it sounds like a great amount of fun, too.
It is a lot of fun. This is our 16th year. We started out at the Dearborn Country Club, and we rapidly outgrew the country club. And then we moved over to the Fairlane Club, and we outgrew the Fairlane Club. And so now for the last maybe 12 years, I'm guessing, we have been at the Dearborn Inn. And it's a wonderful venue. They're very accommodating. They're always glad to see us. They're probably always glad to see us leave. I don't know. But they're very, very, they're lovely at the Dearborn Inn. And they've done a wonderful job. They turn over the whole back, including the long room, which is where we put our raffle. But the premise of the Holly Berry brunch is if you're familiar with a Chinese raffle or a tin can raffle, we actively solicit gift baskets from our members, which can include anything from baby blankets and baby things to baskets for dogs and cats and wine. Wine baskets go very well. We have, what else, garden statuary, food goes well too, and all kinds of things, and we get gift certificates from merchants in the area. They will donate. I believe we get from the Henry Ford Estate. We receive anything. We actively solicit the merchants. We get fruit baskets. We receive, if you go to your hair salon, you ask for gift certificates, product, you know, your hair, your body washes, your things like that. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And last year we had 127 baskets.
Wow.
We sold almost 8,000 raffle tickets. And the people really get into this. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. We also have a silent auction. We had, I believe, 19 items last year. We made over $2,000 on our silent auction.
Wow.
I think all told, after expenses, we were just a little bit shy of $21,000.
That's outstanding.
For one day. And,
exactly.
And considering the economy, it was very gratifying.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you've outgrown your venue twice, mm-hmm. and that took you to the Dearborn Inn, which is very exciting. How many people normally, how have your crowds been attendance-wise over the last couple
years?
Well,
we average around 465 women.
Wow, okay.
We do not send out invitations. Mm-hmm. There is some publicity in the Durham papers. We could have more, but we take what we can get. It's mostly word of mouth. The Dearborn realtors are wonderful. They come and buy several tables. And they buy lots and lots of raffle tickets, and they're so funny because when one of them wins, they all scream, and holler because, you know, somebody won. And it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your lunch. You have a lovely lunch, of course, that the inn has prepared. And then we do the drawings, mm-hmm. and everybody gets really into it and gets very excited about winning the basket. And I know personally, if I see something I'd like to give as a gift, I really stuff the ballot box, so to speak, and I'm shoving all my tickets in there, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I have been successful on a number of occasions, and it's a lot of fun to win something, or if somebody at your table wins. And the other thing we do is we solicit sponsorships. And last year we had 22 sponsorships from local merchants and the University of Michigan and Henry Ford Community College and Oakwood Commons, Henry Ford Village, several Ford dealers in the area. Let's see, who else? Westbourne Market. Mm-hmm. And we always try to say, you know, please support these people. And when you shop there, tell them that, you know, you saw their ad in the Holly Berry Brunch booklet. Mm-hmm. We put together a booklet, and their sponsorship money gives them an ad, either a third of a page, a half a page, or a whole page.
Okay.
And if anybody out there is listening, it's $500 for half a page and $900 for a full page, or a third of a page is $300. So, you know, feel free. We can always use more ads. We're not bashful. Mm-hmm. And then the money that we make at the end is what we donate to all the causes that were mentioned earlier.
Right.
The conservatory, the Nature Conservancy.
Scholarships.
Scholarships. Yeah. This is how we can afford to help the students. So the more money we make, the more that we can give away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very gratifying. And the Holly Berry Brunch is a lot of work. I've chaired it for the past 3 years, and this year Carol Kuchastik and Rose Wiggle stepped up to the plate, and they're a great team, and they're working right on schedule. And the committee chairs have been in place for a number of years, so they know their jobs. And when I chaired it, I just checked in every now and then, and I tried not to be a helicopter pilot, her parent, and hover. And, you know, I just let them do their jobs, and it's my job was just to take all the threads and pull them together and tie them in a bow at the end, and it worked out beautifully.
Oh, great.
And it's a wonderful event. Tickets are $30. You can be a patron for $35. And at the end of October, the price goes up to $35, so you'll still be a benefactor. And a lot of people get 9 of their friends, and they just buy a table.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the price points. And like I said, we are actively looking for raffle gifts. You know, Christmas things go well,
mm-hmm.
because obviously it's right before Christmas,
right,
and
right.
Santa Clauses, Christmas ornaments, dishes, Christmas dishes. We have had for the silent auction, a portrait studio in Northville donates a portrait setting. We've had storm doors. We have had jewelry from Dearborn Jewelers. We have had dishes that people have donated, you know, sets of china.
Sure.
That they no longer want. It's just interesting to see what shows up.
Okay.
And we've had oil paintings.
Okay.
So it's a mix, and it's a lot of fun, and we try to make sure there's something there for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very gratifying to see people come in and support a cause that's very near and dear to my heart.
Right.
And as president this year, I can sort of sit back and enjoy it a little more and not have to worry about all the details.
Okay, if someone is interested in making a donation, sponsorship, basket, buying tickets, what have you, what's the best way to do that?
They can call me at 313-336-3184. And I will make arrangements for someone to come and pick their item up.
Okay.
If they would like to make a sponsorship, they can call me at 313-336-3184, and I will be happy to take their money and take their ad. The ticket person is Mary Bujea, and I believe her phone number is 313-278-7524.
Okay.
And if it's not correct, it's Bugeia on Cherry Hill Court.
Okay.
So she's the one to call for tickets, and they do go quickly.
Okay.
And the room has capacity of 500 people, and it's my dream to sell out the room.
There you go. And again, more information about all the things we talked about today at www.gardenclubdearborn.org.
And I have one thing to add I forgot.
Okay.
Every year we have music, and it's been provided by the Grace Notes, and Jennifer Roderick, who I believe is on the staff here as an English professor, is the head of this group, and they play every year for us, and she said we play for food. So it's they do a wonderful job, and they're a group of four very talented women, and I appreciate them coming every year.
Terrific. Okay. Mary Lou, thank you so much for being part of Impact. And again, this is a pre-recorded show today, and Impact is a show that appears on the 4th Tuesday every month, bringing you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This has been your host, Lynn. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man. Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. Soul getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah. High score, baby.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ag Council.
For more information in Michigan, visit knowhowtogomichigan.org. That's knowhowtogomichigan.org.
Henry Ford Community College gift cards are a great way to show your support for someone in your life who is seeking the skills necessary to fulfill their dreams. Available in values from $10 to $100, gift cards can be used towards payment of tuition, purchasing books and supplies, lab fees, or even a lunch at Skylight Cafe. Gift cards can be purchased at the campus bookstore or online at collegestore.hfcc.edu. College gift cards. What better way to encourage a student in your life than with an investment in their future?
WHFR Dearborn. Good afternoon and welcome to The Best of Broadway. I'm Joe, your host. Today's play will be Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate. And this play was opened on Broadway on the New Century Theater on December 30th, 1948. And then it was made into a movie in 1953. And that's what we're going to hear the score of from the movie. It stars Catherine Grayson and Howard Keel, who were the stars last week on Showboat. Also, it has Ann Miller, Keenan Wynn, Bobby Vann, James Whitmore, Kurt Kasenar. And the story goes like this. We start off with a pair of temperamental actors, Fred Graham and his ex-wife, Lily Vanessi, appearing on touring revival of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. Fred is attracted to a lot.